Hello everybody, this is Parshas Yisroi. And Rashi begins with a comment that Yisroi, Chazal find, he really has seven names. And each name obviously represents a different aspect of him. And the reason why he's called Yisroi is because he was Yiter, he added an additional Parsha to the Torah, additional chapter to the Torah. And some people say the reason why Yisroi had seven names was because he had seven daughters to marry off. And each time he married off a daughter, he went bankrupt, so he had to get a new name. But in reality, Rashi points out that Yisroi, the Parsha that he added, is the Parsha of Ata Secheze. And you should see, you should appoint people to judge the nation. Rashi is referring to, a little bit into the Parsha, Yisroi sees that Moshe Rabbeinu is judging everyone, and the lines are for forever. And he realizes that the system won't last. Moshe Rabbeinu can't possibly judge 600,000 men, let alone all the women and children, all the issues that arise around 3 million people. So he says he had to make a hierarchy, to make a system of courts. But if you know, Rashi calls the Parsha, the additional chapter, right, by the term Va'ata Secheze, which is a pasuk, which is actually in the middle of the Parsha. If you look at the Parsha actually begins, it was a day after Matan Torah, and Yisroi saw what was going on. And he says, Loi Toiv Hadavar, the matter is not good. What you're doing is not right. And it's interesting why Rashi chooses to quote the Parsha to refer to it by the middle of the Parsha, where it says, Va'ata Secheze, and you should appoint. And I heard a pshat recently from somebody. He said, because Rashi's pointing out that what Yisroi added, Yisroi's, so to speak, big chap, his big kind of insight, wasn't the issue. Everyone could point out issues. It's not a big deal to find issues. What Yisroi added was a solution. Va'ata Secheze, you should do this, you should do that. Giving a proper solution to a problem, that was the addition that Yisroi brought out, and that's what he's commemorated for, and that's why his name became Yisroi, because of the Parsha, the solution that he added to Klal Yisroel. The Parsha continues and says how Yisroi brought along with him Moshe's wife and Moshe's sons, and it refers to Moshe's sons and to why they were named what they were named. And the first one of Moshe's sons is named Gershon. And the Parsha explains, Ki Amar, because Moshe said, Ger ha-yisi be'eretz nachriya, I was a ger, a sojourner, a foreigner in a foreign land. And the second one is named Eliezer, ki elikei avi be'ezri, for the God of my father was assisted me, ve'yatzileni, and he saved me, mecher of pari, from the sword of pari. And the Drash Moshe finds and asks the obvious question that seemingly Moshe is naming his children out of order. Technically, chronologically speaking, the first one should be named Eliezer, because Hashem saved him from the sword of Pari first, and then he sojourned in the land of Midian, and then he became a ger in Midian. So why is Gershon first and Eliezer second? And he explains, it's a very deep point. He says that a lot of times in life, people experience miracles, and they're saved from something. But they forget to ask themselves a very important question. Why did Hashem do this for me? Why did he give me this unique ability, this unique gift that he saved me from something that others didn't get saved from? And there has to be a purpose, there has to be a reason, there has to be an answer as to what I'm going to do with this opportunity that he gives me. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that. He understood that Hashem gave him a gift. Hashem saved him from Pare. It had to be for a reason. And he realized that the reason wasn't for him to become just another person in Midian and to blend into Midian culture and just become a nobody in Midian. He realized he had to stay a ger. He had to stay separate from Midian. He had to stay who he was. And he had to focus on growing. And that's what he did. And during the whole time he stayed in Midian, Moshe Rabbeinu kept being, so to speak, a ger. He stayed away from everybody else. He sat with the sheep, and he grew by his baidus through thinking and trying to understand what Hashem wants from him. And he grew from that, and he realized that was the purpose for him to be a ger, for him to be not part of Midian, to live by himself. And then he can properly thank Hashem for the Eliezer, the Lekei Avi Be'ezri, that Hashem saved him from a sword of Pare, because now that gift, that miracle, it had meaning, it served a purpose. In Perek Yetes, the Torah begins to tell us about the Maimon Har Sinai, about the gift of the Torah on Har Sinai. But it begins with telling us, B'chadish HaShlishi, in the third month, Letzeis B'nei Yisrael Meretz Yitzrayim, that the Jews have left Egypt. B'yayim HaZeh Bo'u Mer Sinai. That day they came to the desert of Sinai. And then the Pasuk Beis, the Torah does something very interesting. It says, V'yisu Me'Rafidim, and they traveled from Rafidim. They came to Midbar Sinai, and they rested in the Midbar. Torah goes back and repeats, you know, I just told you in Pasuk Aleph that they came to Midbar Sinai. But let me just tell you, first of all, they left Rephidim, they rested in the Midbar, and they camped by the mountain of Sinai. And the Aruch Chaim coach asked the obvious question, why is the Torah repeating itself? And why, if the Torah wants to give you more detail, why is it out of order? And he says, really, Pasuk Beis is not just a technical chronological Pasuk to explain to you where they left and where they're coming to. Pasuk Beis, says the Aruch Chaim Kadosh, is three factors that were necessary, three essential things that had to happen for Klal Yisrael to be able to accept a Torah. Number one was they had to be by Yisu Me Rephidim. Klal Yisrael had to leave Rephidim. What is Rephidim? Rephidim is the last camp that they were at where Amalek attacked them. And Rashi tells us there, like, based on a Chazal, that Rephidim is an allusion to the fact that they were Rafu Yedehem. Rafu means they weakened. They weakened their commitment. They weakened their hands from toiling in Torah. Torah has to be learned not simply just to understand it, but Torah has to be learned with a person's full engagement. A person has to be strong. He has to push himself. He has to be fully committed to learning Torah. It has to be done with a full intensity. They left that. They went away from that Rifyon. They went away from that weakening. And they strengthened themselves. And they came to Har Sinai all energized, all in, and intense about learning. Number two is they're Vayachan in Bamidbar. They rested in the desert. What does that mean, says Aruch Chaim Kadosh? It's an allusion to the Gemara in Erev and Daf Nadalat Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us that a person wants to accept Torah, he has to put himself like a Midbar, like a desert. The Klal Yisrael only got the Torah in the desert because the desert is a place that's mufkar lakol. It's a place which is free for everybody. A person wants to get the Torah. A person wants Hashem to give him that special gift of being able to understand and know Torah. He has to make himself available to all. He has to basically just be there for everybody. He can't put up walls around himself. He has to put himself like a midbar, like a desert. He has to make himself somebody who has not, he's not full of himself. He's not haughty. Anybody who wants can come to talk to me. I can be there for anybody. He has to make himself like a midbar. And that's the second step of a yachid of a midbar. And the last one is Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Har, the famous chazal that Yisrael as one, that they were Ishechad B'Lev Echad, that there was Achdus, there was unity. Klal Yisrael as a whole has a schus, has the merit of getting a Torah, not each individual on his own. And those are the three necessary things that Klal Yisrael needed to get the Torah. And that's why the Torah specifically goes back and says those points of Vayisu Me Rephidim, they left Rephidim, Vayachid Bamidbar, they rested in the Midbar, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Har, that they rested there, connected the mountain, because that's what they needed, and that's what we all have to do if we want to properly be able to have the schus of accepting the Torah. In Pasuk Gimel, Moshe Rabbeinu finally goes up Har Sinai, and Hashem tells him as follows, Koi Soymar LeBeis Yaakov, so shall you say to Beis Yaakov, V'sagid, and say over to Bnei Yisrael. And the Mefarshim all Kama Rashi brings out in the Chazal that there's two languages here. There's Soymar LeBeis Yaakov, which means to say in a soft way. Amira is a softer language. It's saying in a positive way. It's to Omar. That's to Beis Yaakov. That's to the ladies, to the women. You talk to them in a positive way. You don't talk to them in a harsh way. V'sagid, Lashon of Gidim. Gidim are sinews. They're tough, hard things. That's how you talk to Bnei Yisrael. To the men, you have to talk to them tough. You got to talk to them straight. They need it to kind of really hear it in a tough way. And that's the well-known chazal, that when a person talks to women, you have to talk in a more positive way, a softer way. You talk to men, you got to scare them, you got to beat them down, you got to talk in Lashon of Kasha to Gidim. But Ramesha Feinstein answers the obvious question. He says, it's funny, why does a Torah say, first tell the women in a positive way, and then tell the men to the hard thing? Usually we assume you tell the men all the hard facts first, and then we tell it to the ladies, you tell it to them in a nice way, you make it all cheerful. But why is it that the ladies have to be told first? Says the Moshe Feinstein, a very simple point. He says, because this Kabbalah Satara, the Matan Torah that was going on at Har Sinai, it wasn't a one-time thing. This is going to be the future of a Jewish people's connection to the Torah for generation after generation until Mashiach comes. This is going to be our Messiah is going to be based off what happened in Har Sinai. And every child that's raised has to live off of Har Sinai. And who's the first one? Who's going to be the first people to give a child that Messiah? Who's going to be the ones to give it over? It's going to be the mother. The Beis Yaakov are going to be the ones who are going to tell over. They're going to be the first foundation of a child in Techinuch. and they have to be told first, and it has to be Lashon Amira, because that's how you raise children to Torah, is that their mothers give them a positive association to Yiddishkeit, their mothers give them that proper attitude, so to speak, to how to approach Yiddishkeit, how to approach Torah. I remember by last year, Mashas, they said over a story, their Meir Shapiro, the one who came up with the Daf HaYomi, he said over that his mother, he remembers one day coming downstairs, and his mother was sitting there looking by the window, and she was crying. And he asked her, "Mommy, why are you crying?" She said, "Because I hired a very expensive Malamed." She put all the money she had. She wanted to get him a top, top teacher. He's supposed to come today, and he's still not here. He's supposed to be here already. So he said, "Ma, look, don't cry. You know, okay, he'll come tomorrow. He'll come late today. It's not a big deal." She said, "A day that's wasted is a day that never comes back. Every day that you can learn and that you can grow, that you don't use, it's gone. It's gone for forever." And he said that that image of his mother crying about a day of his learning missing, it's lived with him for forever. It changed his attitude towards Torah. It changed his attitude towards life. And that's what the Torah is teaching us, because Semer LeBeis Yaakov is that it has to go first. The mothers are going to be the ones who are the first givers over the Torah. They're the ones who lay the foundation. And they have to be told first, and they have to be given the right approach first before we go and tell the Sagid L'bnei Yisrael with the hard facts. We'll end off with one last Vara Torah. Rabbi Aaron Cutler asked a famous question. He says, you look at the Aseres HaDibros that we have. The Leisirtach, Leisindach, Leisavid. These are all commandments which were present already given to Noach. These are all part of the Shevet Zibnei Noach. Don't kill. Don't serve Avodah Zarah. Don't commit adultery. These are all given. So what exactly new was given to Klal Yisrael by Har Sinai in all these commandments? And he said a very deep point. He answered that till now the commandment was don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't serve idols. They were very much on the action. Don't do this bad deed. Now, says Aaron Cutler, the commandments of Aseres HaDibros of Klal Yisrael were given. They were meant to tell a person to not be a Ritzach. A person in his essence has to not be somebody who can kill. He has to be somebody who can't steal. He has to become somebody who can't commit adultery. The mitzvahs have to become a part of the fabric of a Jew. He has to change himself. He has to rid himself of all the evil that's inside him so that he's not somebody who could even do those things. It's not simply don't do the action. Don't be a killer who just didn't have opportunity to kill. Change yourself in your essence to become somebody who is loisirtzach, who cannot kill, who cannot commit adultery, and who cannot serve idols. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbat, which is always to become people who truly embody the Aseres HaDibros.